2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 11. While you turn there, I'll give a little introduction to myself. My name is Philip Hudson, as you might have heard. I am from Uganda, East Africa. My parents were missionaries there, and we moved back to the States when I was 3 years old, and we moved to Texas, and we lived there for the last 15 years, and then I moved to Oklahoma City, and I just finished up my first year of Heartland Baptist Bible College. I was a music major, so if you see me up here sweating profusely and taking my coat off and everything, it's because of the heat. It's not because I was a music major. I switched over to pastoral because, you know, I really felt the Lord's call on my life. And I really do believe that one day He has for me to pastor. And so I'm excited to see how the Lord works and how He leads in my life there at Heartland Baptist Bible College. So anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I have 5 main points here on how to be an effective soul winner. 5 steps on what it takes to be an effective evangelist, an effective soul winner. And the first step that I have is the qualification. If you want to be an effective soul winner for Jesus Christ, you must first be qualified. Verse number 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ..." If you're saved, he is a new creature. That's a qualification. You must be saved and you must be a new creature if you want to be an effective soul winner. This means, it says there, old things are passed away. That means all of your sinful habits, your sinful walk, your sinful talk, the music you used to listen to, all that stuff. When you get saved, when you become a new creature, all that passes away, and it says all things are become new and all things are of God. And so whenever you get saved and you become a new creature, whenever you become qualified, the old things in your life are to pass away and the new things are to be of God. Your life is supposed to point in the direction of God. And then it says, "Unto all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So once you are qualified, it says there at the end of verse number 18, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So the first thing is qualification. The second step is, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to reconcile. The Webster's Dictionary says, as a verb, it means to restore to friendship or to harmony, to settle or to resolve. To restore to friendship or harmony, to settle or to resolve. To reconcile is as if, you know, imagine yourself as a kid and you're working with your dad, you're helping your dad, and you're not holding the flashlight still and your dad gets onto you. And maybe it's something a little bit more deeper than that. Maybe it's you told a lie and your dad gets on to you and he punishes you and sends you to your room. And you're sitting there in your room and you're pouting. You're thinking, my dad hates me. I hate my dad. My dad doesn't love me. He punished me. And your mom comes in and says, "Sweetie, look, your dad loves you. Your dad wants to see what's best for you. Your dad got onto you because he wants you to do better. Your dad loves you." And you then, as a kid, then see that and you say, "Okay, yeah, mom, you know, not in that tone. You say, "Yes, ma'am. You know, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that." And you apologize to your dad. What happened? Your mom reconciled you to your dad. Your mom restored that relationship or friendship. And that's what Christ has called each and every one of us to do. God has called us to reconcile people to him. And it's going to look different in every situation. Being down here in the Bible Belt has really changed my view on a lot as far as going door to door and talking to people. There are a lot of people, almost everyone here has heard the gospel at some point. It really does blow my mind, and I don't want to take that for granted, but there have been a lot of people here that have seen the gospel, and you're going to find that when you're out there, there's going to be people where the seed has been planted, and it's been watered, and they're ready for harvest, and God just needs someone to reconcile, to go up and harvest that crop. But not every situation is going to be like that. Some people are going to be bitter. Whenever you go and you share the gospel with them, some people are going to be bitter, and they're going to be thinking, "God, how could this ever happen in my life? I've been a good person. God, I prayed for this, and this didn't happen. You didn't answer my prayer. God, how could this person die?" Some people will be bitter to God, but it's our ministry to reconcile them, to restore that relationship and bring them back to God. That's what God's called us to do. Other people, you see this a lot, other people just haven't thought about it. There's a lot of situations in the world today where you can go day after day after day and not think about the things of God, and you can do that as a believer. Think about a person lost in the world, and they're not around a church, they're not around saved people, and they're going day after day after day, and they don't think about the things of God, and they don't know about Christ the Savior, and God has called us and sent us to reconcile them. God has sent us to take his word to them and to be able to show them that there is a God that loves them, and there is a God that wants to save him. God has called us to reconcile. How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? Verse number 19, it says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's how we're going to do it, is by using the tool God gave us, the word of reconciliation. God has given us the most powerful tool you could possibly own. Not a drill, not any sort of skid steer or anything like that. It's the word of God. And when you're reconciling people, the word of God is your tool that you need. And your tool will not be effective in reconciling people unless you're familiar with it. And what are good ways to get familiar with it? Well, one way is being faithful in church. If you're faithful in church and being faithful to Sunday school and being faithful on Wednesday night, and I thank each and every one of you for being here on a Wednesday night. I know it's hard to get down here. And so I thank you all for that, even though, I mean, in this heat and everything, man. But being faithful to church. But that's not the only way. I mean, you can be, there's so much more potential that you can have with God's word by studying his word and not just reading it to check off a box, not just being like, oh yes, I'm a good Christian, I checked off the box. If you want to use this tool effectively, if you want to be an effective soul winner, you have to know the Bible. You have to study the Bible, and you have to be memorizing the Bible too, because you're not going to be able to just, you know, oh, let me look through my footnotes and everything to find each verse. If you're witnessing to someone, you have to have the Bible memorized. You have to be familiar with your tool and reading in it. That's how we're going to be an effective soul winner. And it's not always going to be just the Bible, just memorizing the Bible and even opening a physical copy of the Bible, but it's also going to be in the form of a gospel tract that you give to some cashier. It's going to be in the form of a VBS flyer that you hand out. It's going to be in the form of going to someone and just being a good witness and talking to them about Christ. Like I said, people haven't thought about it. And instead of some days talking about sports or talking about the weather, what if you brought up the things of God? That can be a witness. That's using the Bible as your tool in order to be an effective witness. And so we know that we're qualified and we know that we're called to do it. How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? We know how we're going to do it by the word of God. Why do we do it? I think it's really important that we know why we are to be, why we're supposed to reconcile people. And the first reason is because God's commanded us to. And that should be good enough for each and every one of us. If God is the God in your life, then God's command, God's ministry of reconciliation that he's given to you, and God gave it to you, he didn't put it on you, draft you into it. It's a privilege to be able to reconcile people. And God gave you that, and that should be enough for us to say, yes, I want to do it. I want to show up on Saturday and go out to visitation. I want to go, I want to speak to people in public settings. I want to do all this. I want to take the gospel out. That should be enough. But if that's not enough for you, then there's another reason. And I really like this reason. It's because the love of God. Verse number 14, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Oh, sorry, I read the wrong verse there. Christ's love. Died and rose again. Sorry, I did get the right verse there. Christ died for us and Christ loved us. Christ loved you so much that he would rather die than to live without you. Let that sink in. Christ loved you so much that he would rather die than to live without you. And Christ was thinking about you and thinking about your sins and forgave all of your sins the moment you prayed on him. And when he was dying there on the cross, he was thinking about you and your sins. And Christ bore your sins and died and suffered and died. We need to have that same love when we take the gospel out. When we take the gospel out to people, we need to look at these people and love them the same way Christ loved us. We need to love them more than a couple extra hours of work on Saturday. We need to love these people more than a couple extra hours of sleep on Saturday. We need to love these people more than our own pride, because you'll be there at a family reunion and you'll see someone that you'll know they're not saved, they're not in church, and they need the gospel, but it's too awkward, so I'm not going to bring it up right now. Are you going to risk your embarrassment for their eternity in hell? Are you going to risk that? Or are you going to love people the way that Christ loved them? Are you going to show up and help pass out the bus flyers, help pass out the VBS flyers? Because these kids, they're not growing up in Christian homes. They're not growing up in the right places. They need someone to love them the same way that Christ loved you, the same way that someone loved you and showed you the Bible and showed you how that you can get saved. God has given us that ministry, and Christ loved us and was the example to show us that we can too can go out and show them how that they can be saved. And so we know that we're qualified. Oh, I got one more point here. The second reason on why we should do it is because we are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse number 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone must receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." We are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And one day God's going to throw our works in the fire, and it's either going to come out gold, silver, and precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. Is your life going to come out? Are the works of your life, your extra couple hours of work on Saturday, or your embarrassment, or your extra couple minutes of time that you can't really stop and explain to someone the gospel because you have someone to be, is that going to come out as gold, silver, and precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble? Or will showing up for visitation, will passing out bus flyers, will doing all this stuff, will memorizing your Bible, will that come out as gold, silver, and precious stone? Just think about that. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and you want your life to count for someone. You want to have something to give back to God whenever you get there to heaven. And so we know what we're supposed to do. We know we're qualified, and then we know what we're supposed to do. We know how we're supposed to do it, and we know why we're supposed to do it. The last thing we have to do now is just go. The last thing we have to do is to go. Matthew 28, 19, the Great Commission. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." God has sent you. You've heard, you know what to do. I know Pastor has explained over and over, and I know you guys are a very evangelistic church, and you have heard over and over what you're supposed to do. The last thing we have to do now is go. I challenge you, in between now and VBS, go. Take some bus flyers. Take some extra gospel tracts. Pass them out. Try to witness to people. See if you can lead someone to the Lord. See if how many people we can get saved at this VBS coming up. We have events like the 4th of July thing coming up. I pray that each and every one of you will be a witness and invite people out. That's a great opportunity to see people get saved. I challenge you to go. The Bible has given us that command. Now go.